Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for a day like this. We thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Father. As the nation reflects on his birth, on his destiny, Father, may this day, O God, speak to our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We honor you. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Let us remember this day because of you and what you do in our lives. Mark our hearts, our soul, our mind, and establish us in your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I know a lot of people have traveled. Amen. So we thank God for those of you that are here. And again, I want to thank God for those who didn't make it because they are cooking and preparing for our celebration today. Amen.
Amen.
The goat meat we've been talking about has finally been killed. Amen. So we're going to celebrate it today. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that moments like this, that God will not let us just walk through a day like this empty. This day is the birth of a nation that has impacted generations and will continue to do so. So on a birth day of a nation, America should also be a memorial for us all. Amen? So my prayer is you are not here by coincidence. Sometimes God puts things in your heart, but he knows the people that he put it there for. And we pray that others will have the opportunity also to that are watching and those that will probably watch it later. But one thing I've always asked the Lord are memorial days, significant days like this, should be a memorial impact in my personal life. Amen? And I pray it will be in your life.
Amen.
As we celebrate, all through the Bible, whenever people are celebrating, it's also when God is doing something. Amen? So let's give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. So I pray that God will speak to your heart this morning. Hallelujah. There's something recently that the Lord started awakening in my heart. I was going to speak to a particular leadership meeting and I was praying what the Spirit of the Lord has. And the Lord just suddenly just gave me this word. And ever since then, it's refining it in alignment with the season we are in and the times we are in. Thank God for the people that just prayed and led us in worship. Everything has a focus. So, I want to share with you this morning about the word focus. The spelling is F-O-C-U-S. Focus. Focus. Amen? Focus. Fo F-O-C-U-S. Let's open our Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I will read from from 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even unto the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Then he named from the boundaries of this promise. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is in the law and the word of God, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Listen to this. Turn not from it to the right or to the left. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left. Again, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. Verse 8 is the key. It says, this book or the word of the Lord, or the book of the word, or the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth. How does it get to thy mouth? But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. Good success. So this is the scripture we are going to begin with. Amen? Amen. And then we'll see where the Lord leads us from there. If we spell the word focus, it's F-O-C-U-S. We're going to be looking at those words in a few minutes later on why the last alphabet there, the last word S, is the word success. We're going to see how what word under F, what word under O, what word under C, what word under U finally brings us to success. Yes. What the Lord showed to me is not anything new, but it's something that is a reminder for me. Everybody that has been a producer, whether a car producer, a cologne producer, soap, planes, nations, cities, companies, entrepreneurship, anybody that has ever been a source or a visionary for what causes mass of people to benefit has to go through focus. There must be focus. There, in every phase of life, there are producers and consumers. So, as we read the book of Joshua, how does it relate? Because this message of focus is directly connected also to the independence of America. This very day is why this word is coming, focus. And for all of us. No successful person escapes a focused life. Never. You can never get to establish success without focus. Before we look at it, I want to also just say something about focus. If you want to understand focus, the way we're going to look at it this morning, from the eyes of the destiny of a nation, and what God is calling us to achieve. The Bible says in the book of Judges chapter 17, verse 6, and also Judges chapter 21, verse 25. But let's read, it's the same word, but let's read 17:6. Judges 17:6 says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In those days, there was no king in Israel. He repeated it at the end of Judges 21:25. The same word. There was no king in Israel. So every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Wherever there is no leadership, there is no focus. Everybody will do whatever they want, whatever is right in their own eyes. That's where Israel was. Whenever there is no leadership in a city, in a nation, it doesn't mean somebody's not there. Leadership doesn't just mean because somebody is in the office. Leadership means somebody that carries a vision, either for a city or a nation, or a vision of God. So, from Genesis, going to the rest of the books of the Bible, then coming to Moses, Joshua gave leadership to his generation. Moses gave leadership to his generation. And then Joshua came. I was talking about Joseph. Then Joshua came. When Joshua came, we read exactly Joshua 1, what God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. I need leadership. If these people are going to make it to the place where I have ordained and spoken and swore to their fathers they will possess, I need leadership. And if you're going to be a leader, you must fulfill these focus points for you to make it to the number S, success. For you to experience success, good success, Joshua, you must understand what it takes to lead according to the mind of God. So, in everything pertaining to life, there's a form of leadership or another. But in things relating to the kingdom, it does not always mean because there's a king or a judge or this or that means there's leadership or there's this. No. Leadership must have focus. So, you see why God rejected Saul even when he was a king. Because He was not a leader according to the requirements of God. But he had an office. So before we get to America, let me first of all read again. I've explained to you, every man is wise in his own eyes, or right in his own eyes, because there was no leader. Now, how do we begin to begin to define this word focus? Focus, first of all, in all its mission dictionary meanings, can be summarized in two major words: vision and purpose. Vision is an encounter. Vision is both physical and spiritual. Any man with two eyes has a vision. You see. Amen?
Amen.
But when you don't have a purpose, you can go any direction. But when you have a purpose, purpose establishes your attention towards your vision. Purpose gives you a focused attention, gives you a driven purpose, gives you purpose towards that vision. And whenever you have a vision, both physical or spiritual, and you understand the purpose, then there will be a strategy. And that strategy is what makes you a successful person. Everybody in this world has two eyes. Let me just put it this way, except those who might not. But not everybody achieves their purpose or fulfills their purpose. Success in definition means accomplished, aim, goal, or accomplished vision, accomplishment. You finish something well, you see, that's good success. Every assignment in life has challenges, both physical and spiritual. Amen?
Amen.
So, to really have a strong focus, there must be vision, there must be purpose, there must be strategy. The purpose is, for any vision, is the why. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to pay this? Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to? Why? I mean, when you're really being challenged, you must answer that question, why? And the strategy is how to get to that finish line. Amen? So we're going to look at those five words in a few minutes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Today is 4th of July. Before this date, there were people on the ground here, Native Americans. And after then, there were different immigrants, heading towards the shores of this Western world. And they had a vision. They had a purpose. And as they were converging into this nation, they were multiplying their force and their team and whatever. They were the pilgrims. They were those who were coming here because God led them. They were fleeing from the persecutions in the rest of the world. And they were coming here with a mind to establish a place of freedom to worship and to serve God. And many of them planted their flags at different locations. We're not going through American history today. And they planted their flags in this nation. And they planted these Christian flags. And they dedicated this nation to God. They consecrated the land, like Joshua, where your feet touch. They consecrated it to God. Then there were others that were coming eventually, different ones who were coming at different points that has also a different agenda. Before this time, there was a very powerful movement called Freemason, which was the elite satanic hierarchy group that were after dethroning everybody else to establish a vision for the world and Satan's mind. And they started gaining so much force at that time. And also that group, also through various, you can go look at the history, various ways, also came to this place with a vision. And as this started, so many things happened in the land, but this started mixing together. Because the outer courts of Freemason is very Christian mind. It's very religious in nature. So all these people started mixing up together, working together towards achieving victory in this place. So the British, of course, had the upper hand. They were able to subdue the people that were in the land, and they fought with those that were here and eventually succeeded. And now they started imposing a form of all kinds of things upon the people here from different parts of the world. So one thing led to the other, and a revolution started. Gradually, there was a team, and a revolution started, which took different shapes. And finally, that revolution broke through, and the British were overwhelmed. And that 13 colonies started forming a bond. And after much has happened, after the first Congress, they finally came to a decision to declare the independence of this nation and to establish this nation in 1776. I won't go into a lot of things because they are very spiritual. But 1776 is one of the most powerful year in the destiny of this nation. While July was the declaration of these colonies of the independence of America, also there was also another establishment that was being established in this nation in the month of May. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
So, the best way I can describe it to you, because the history right now is not our focus, is to get to why this word. To summarize what happened to bring this nation to July 4th, being declared as Independence Day. And actually after the declaration, you all can go also read it and study. There's a bell still now in Philadelphia, Independence Hall, that eventually from July 8th, after that declaration, it was finally dedicated. And that bell started becoming what they called Independence Bell, which was not the original purpose, but it served a lot of spiritual purpose. Because that bell brought a revelation in Philadelphia to William Payne and whatever, all the things that happened there. 50 years after a major, major, major significant thing happened, that bell was called a Liberty Bell. And that bell was called Liberty Bell, and it was taken directly from Leviticus 25, verse 11. A jubilee shall thou 50th year be unto you. You shall neither sow nor reap, nor reap that which groweth of itself, nor gather the grapes, you know, in the vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In that year of jubilee, you shall return every man unto his own possession. The abolitionists used it. Several people always use it as a point of reference through history. But it was finally established as the Liberty Bell and then now used significantly on July 4th as the bell for the independence of America. The jubilee. When you go there, I've been there. I took a picture of that bell because of the things God was showing to me about the nation. You will see exactly the scripture printed on the bell, cracked, and these words written on it. The declaration, the jubilee for the nation. They connected the jubilee of the Bible. After all that has transpired in the nation, they now connected it to the 4th of July. So 4th of July now becomes what you call Americans' independence. Basically now is a memorial of America's jubilee. And that bell talks about it as a memorial. I'm going to be talking about jubilee for the next few weeks, few days. And as God was preparing my heart these few weeks to give clear meaning to the season we are in. And as we're praying this morning, Pastor Emmanuel really focused on it. That was such a confirmation. So you're going to be hearing some things leading to what the feast of the seventh month, leading from now to then, I'll be preparing us for that, the tenth, and so many things regarding to how this is aligned to Mount Zion. And where we're going and what God is doing. Jubilee in the Bible, you can read it from Leviticus 25. You can also read it in different other places, Numbers. It was when Israel has now entered into their promised land. Amen? And God, knowing the frailty of man, told Moses to establish the year of Jubilee. The year of liberty. Year of freedom. Because things happen from the time they were there to so many things can happen. Somebody can owe your debt. I won't go into all that. But whatever happens, by the time they get to almost 50 years, some of them are already slaves to their own brothers. Some of them are already owing this. Some of them are already indebted here. So much is so involved. So much is involved with the year of Jubilee. Amen?
Amen?
So God, knowing that, prepared a season where whenever Israel gets to that point, the 50th year will be the year of release, the year of freedom, the year of forgiveness, the year of returning everything. And where they got this from is actually Pentecost. Pentecost is 50, Jubilee is 50. Pentecost begins its count from the Resurrection Sunday. Amen? You count 7 weeks and then 49, and then the last day is Pentecost. So the same principle is Jubilee. They go 49 years, the 50th year is declared as the year of Jubilee. Now, we'll discuss that more in future, but let's go back. Why did America eventually connect her independence to the year of Jubilee? Because Jubilee is always a new beginning. It's a restart. It's another chance. It's a new season. It's a restoration time. Though the Bible uses Jubilee as a 50th year, but I want to explain to you again why it's also significant in Americans' history and the history of the church and where we are right now. Why this day is relating to all this. Amen? When God spoke to Abraham about the future of Israel, God told them they would be in a strange land, in a strange place for a particular amount of time. But after then, God will bring them out. Amen?
Amen.
God will bring them out and give them their own land, the place where he was speaking to Abraham, as their place of promise. So God fulfilled that. How did God fulfill that? About 400 years after Israel has been in bondage, has been held in bondage in Egypt, God gave them a jubilee. God brought them out. God prospered them because God brought them out of Egypt, blessed them, prospered them, empowered them. That's a form of jubilee. So jubilee is a crossover, a Passover from a state of bondage to a place of success, a state of limitation to a place of freedom, always a place of freedom and empowerment. So if you remember the Passover, that is a kind of dispensational jubilee. Then, when they are about to enter their promised land, God gave Joshua a focused vision. When they enter their promised land, God told them, if they sin, other nations will take them captives. And when they repent, God will give them another chance. So what happened after they got into the promised land? They lost focus. They failed. And you see what focus means soon. And after then, they were taken captive again. When they repented in Babylon, God brought them back to that land. It was a jubilee when Cyrus released them from Babylon. It was a jubilee. It was a restoration back to their land. And they were restored in many, many ways, financially back to their land. They were back again on track. You see, wherever we lose focus, we will always miss our way. We will miss purpose, we will miss destiny, we will always derail. The only way to return back is to be refocused. So God told Joshua, you must be focused for you to be successful. So America, from the little brief history to point us to this point, America, from this 4th of July, 1776, with all the factions that fought for it, established it in these colonies, was a mixed vision. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about he, the man, plants wheat, and then the enemy comes and plants what? Tares. So from 1776, before then, all these factions have been here. And everybody seeking and going after what God sent them here to do. But at the independence on this 4th of July, it's not a coincidence that that bell is cracked. On this 4th of July, when the independence was declared, it was declared with a lot of vision and purpose. So America has two visions, two destinies. The wheat and the tares were planted from this 4th of July into the destiny of the nation. So ever since then, just like this flesh and the spirit wars in us, there has been two atmospheres contending for the destiny of America. There has been the God vision, the God's assignment, the God's seed, and the satanic seed. Amen?
Amen.
Why am I sharing this? I know you've heard about this, you've seen it in that Watchman book. The moment God visited me in 1991 and opened my eyes, He showed me the destiny of America and these two destinies, both physically and spiritually. So, there has been a war for the soul of this land. What we just saw this last election was a very good example of really now. She prayed about unity, the division of the nation. We are now gradually beginning to see the nation heading towards its harvest. And during harvest time, Matthew 13 says, God says, I will separate the wheat from the what? The tares. Amen?
Amen.
What does that mean? It means that when you have a GPS, amen? And the GPS is supposed to take you to a destination. If that GPS has a problem, he will take you where you did not plan to go. That is exactly what this flesh is to us. That is exactly what the tares is to the wheat. The purpose of the tares is to defocus, is to destroy the vision of the wheat, the destiny of the wheat. The purpose of this flesh is warring against us so that we don't manifest the plans and purpose of God in our lives. Amen? So these two destinies in America has been warring. Amen? Now, when a nation loses focus, when a nation loses focus, first of all, let's use Israel for example. God told Israel, I am going to give you a promised land. Amen? He brought them with a mighty hand out of Egypt. What happened? They lost focus. And they were in the wilderness for 40 years, going around one mountain. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, when God now wanted to bring them in, He raised a leader and gave the leader a focused, purpose-driven focus to get the promised land. When Israel finally succeeded, because you can see success comes through focus. When Israel finally succeeded, possessed the land, being established, they lost leadership. Said when there was no king, they lost focus. And when they lose its focus, when you lose vision, and you lose purpose, and you lose consecration, you definitely lose your destination. Israel lost it. So what happens when Israel lost their destination? They were in the wrong place. They were taken captives again. They were put in foreign lands again. They were separated from God. Amen? So, if that happened to Israel, that can happen to me and you. If that can happen to me and you, it can happen to America. This is where America is on Independence Day. The vision of God for America is to be a nation that will host the glory of God. So be a nation through which the glory of God and the end time move of God will fill the whole earth. America was to be the center breadbasket of the gospel to the nations. A missionary nation that God has blessed because for that will have no limit but to further the gospel. God has positioned America for greatness even to the last day. But the other planting, the tares, is saying, no, it's not going to happen. Why is it not going to happen? Because I'm going to make sure they lose focus. I'm going to make sure that I infiltrate the vision of America and give them a different purpose. And give them a different eyes. And give them a different vision. So they, it's like their GPS has been blurry. And that's what the enemy has succeeded in doing. So instead of America becoming, of course, there's always a remnant. Instead of America becoming that, fulfilled that, somehow like Israel along the way, there's been mixed, things have happened, and somehow now, instead of America moving into that original intent like Israel and God blesses them, America now is a breadbasket for perversion, for wickedness, for advanced witchcraft, and all kinds of things. So it looks like the tears is winning because the image of God's plan for this nation now is distorted. So what does God do when he really wants us to get to our destination, to finish well, and to be where we ought to be? He did it for Israel. What is it? Whenever Israel loses focus, which is their God, their purpose, and their assignment, whenever Israel loses it, God gets an eye salve. Amen? Amen? And adjust their eyes. Adjust their life. Refocus them. And how does God do that? He does it through chastisement. He does it through correction. You never regain focus without correction. Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So, God has started the process of correcting a nation and giving them back a focus for destiny and purpose. Amen?
Amen.
And we are going to see shaking like we've seen COVID. What is the purpose of all this? Is to finally refocus, birth, release the end time destiny of America, which is the glory of God, and to release for the harvest of the nations. That is America's destiny. And God will fulfill it. Amen?
Amen.
So for us as a person individually, as a church, as a family, as a business owner, an entrepreneur, whatever position you are in, what is this focus principle that God is giving to Joshua? Because by the way, based on what I've shared with you, just trying to get to this point, our prayer for America in this season is that God will refocus the nation. That God will give her back her vision, like Samson, and give her back her purpose. Amen?
Amen?
And thank God, the church in America, the prayer, the networks are rising, and God is really building a force of a praying, unified body of Christ. And God is about to refocus, redirect the nation's vision. What's the word focus for us? Because we're going to be looking at this. We're doing a training this Wednesday for Mount Zion. First is, focus for you as an individual. How many of you believe here that you have a good leadership of your personal life? Amen. Many of us don't know how to lead our own life. We tell somebody, I'll come there tomorrow, and then you give the person an excuse. That's not leadership. You say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. Things start happening. What is the leadership we're talking about? First, personal leadership, then leading others. You can't lead yourself, how can you lead other people? Personal leadership, corporate leadership, and then other forms of leadership. And then you're talking about leading the people into a promised land or into a destiny, God's plan for them. Leadership is you are calling for radical opposition. You are calling for challenges. And leaders always say, yes, Lord. So Joshua, God told him, you're going to face a lot, but here is your success. You can't fail if you do this. One, fellowship. The first word for leadership is F, fellowship. Fellowship. Everything I want to share with you now has two levels, physical and spiritual. Fellowship. Heavenly visions require fellowship with God. First, for you to really lead your life, you must have a very good connection with God. If not, your flesh is in control. Your soul dominates your life. The realm of the flesh and the realm of the soul, if they dominate you, you cannot really achieve your purpose God-wise. It's a struggle. So there must be sound fellowship with God. Amen? And fellowship with God means fellowship with people. God say, how can you say you love God and you don't love your neighbors? Amen? So the first word is fellowship. I won't go into all the details. In fellowship, you build relationship. The world force is driven with money. Amen? All of you go to work, isn't it? And your boss said, do this. Before he comes back, you've done all of them. Amen? Why? Because they fire you if you don't do it. You're not doing it because you love him. You're not doing it because you like it. You're doing it because you get fired. So money drives the world. But the kingdom of God, relationship drives the things of the kingdom of God. Because without love, the things of God don't function. So fellowship with God brings fellowship with man. Amen? The key is relationship. Now, when you go from that, build that relationship, seek that fellowship with God, the next thing is O. Amen? O is leadership team. When you first lead yourself, you've established a vision, a purpose. Amen? Then, when it comes to anything corporate, you have to have a team. Amen? To establish a team is what you call organization. You have to learn to organize. Organize is not is teamwork. It's empowering people to see the vision the way you say it. Empowering their gifts to come out and working through relationship to give them a purpose towards that vision or towards that goal. Amen? Amen? The Bible says, write a vision down and make it plain so that people who read it will run with it. So first, you lead your life through fellowship with God, and then to fellowship with others, you build a leadership team. Amen? If it's something you're doing by yourself, that's different. But if you're going to lead other people, you're going to open, you're going to work with somebody. It might be your wife, it might be your children, but it has to be, you're not going to be an island. And you're going to have to learn to empower those people by making them feel they have something to offer. Amen?
Amen.
See, in every form of fellowship, in every form of leadership, organization, or teamwork, like you see in the life of Joshua, there must be communication. Communication. In psychology, 20% of what people tell you is what they want you to know. 80% they don't tell you because they don't have a relationship with you. If we walk out of this church now, you tell us you're going out of this room, you can say hi to this person. Hello, how was your day? Wonderful. How is tomorrow? It's going to be great. But somebody is close to you, say, no, I'm going through this. Pray for me. Or this. When you build relationship with you, they give you a little percentage of where their heart is. Amen?
Amen.
Communication is not surface in things to do with God or to do with anything. Communication is both spiritual and physical. To really be able to have good fellowship, to build a teamwork, to build a network, to build an organization, to establish the direction where you're going, there has to be communication. With God. How many of you wants to run a vision with God, but the only time you pray is once a week? You know, if you're not communicating with God, how can you really communicate God's heart to the people? Amen? That talks about our prayer life. I'm speaking the Christian side, not the worldly side, per se. That talks about prayer life. We need deep communication with God to be able to have a good fellowship and for us to have a... You know, the Bible says we are workmanship. God is our partner. We are co-laborers with heaven and with people. So we need communication. Amen? Amen? Now, when there is fellowship, both spiritual and physical, there is a teamwork. You've established. Nehemiah started with himself and then finally went and then found people that he will share the vision, establish that core relationship, establish that organizational school, communicated with them, and finally there was a unified force. Nobody unites with another person without some form of relationship, without serious organizational teamwork. Unity is the force that can never be defeated, both from the world and from the church. God blesses unity as a people he has found to fulfill a thing. Amen? The world in the Tower of Babel, they were unified towards an assignment, and God says, you can't stop them unless you break their relationship. You break their unity. Amen? Amen. So, God, anything that is individual, you can work with God, you can work by yourself, but anything that is corporate, when a husband and wife, more than where two or three are gathered, you have to follow this process to be able to get to unity. And wherever there is kingdom unity, what does unity mean? Everybody's seeing the vision. Everybody's working the purpose. Everybody's following the strategy. It's impossible for you not to succeed. God told Joshua, you will not just have success, you will have good, you will finish this well. And Joshua did. All through the Bible, you will see Satan's craftiness to stop the assignments. In our lives, you can see so many things standing in our way to fulfill a call, even to come to church, even to be faithful in whatever you've been called to do. Some of us drop by the way. Some of us quit. Why? Because there is an opposition for you to be able to lead yourself to mean when you commit to something, you commit. You're faithful. You can be trusted. Why? You lead yourself well. When you can't lead yourself well, people can't trust you. You can't sustain anything because you have not conquered yourself. Or have a purpose. So every great success, great, all these things we see. For example, Edison, the one that invented the electricity we're all enjoying today. It's recorded that he missed it 999 times. But for him, it was not a failure. It was the process for success. People that are successful, they don't see failure. They see a learning process. Their mistakes don't destroy them. Their mistakes don't cause them to quit. Their mistakes don't cause them to lose heart. God told Joshua, you must be courageous because discouragements will come. Things will happen that will shake. Did God really give me this? Am I supposed to do this? Finance people, whatever it is, discouragement, things will come. He said, Joshua, just be courageous. Edison, 99 times today recorded his experimentation that looks like it was a failure, but each part was leading him to never making the next mistakes. And gradually, the 1,000 times we have electricity today. There is no failure to a man with a vision. It's just a learning process. There is no condemnation to those who are after the Spirit. You are after God. You are going after God. You might be like David, a man, and things will happen. That should not cause you to run away from God. You just confess, ask God to forgive you, and move on. Because you are after God. You are after the Spirit. God will never condemn you. God actually, in your worst moment, wants you to come close so He can clean you up and move you forward. God told Joshua, meditate. Keep your eyes on the vision. Keep your mouth on the vision. And keep your lifestyle on the vision. What does that mean? My brothers and sisters, if you think you're so strong, you're so powerful, that you can't meditate on this word every day or study it, you will lose focus. God spoke to me, and before we close, recently, and I shared it in one of our devotions at home. It was simple word, but it was profound. He said, son, this is not an advice for you. This is my word. I said, what? He said, I'm not advising you. The Bible is not an advice for life. It's the only way for life to make it. What does that mean? Advice is for people that did not invent things. It's for people that did not create things. For example, if you're driving a GM car, GM does not advise you to use gas or to change oil. It's mandatory. That car was designed by the maker to use gas and to use oil. They are not advising you. They made it. They know what it takes for it to work. If you don't put gas and you don't put oil, what they made will not work because they created it. So they are not advising you to use gas. You can go say, okay, you're advising. Go put something else and see, it's an advice. Amen? Advice is when somebody is giving you some, do it this way, it's to work, do that way, maybe it's to work, maybe it do not work. Okay, we've tried it many ways, it worked this way. So they give you advice, they give you wisdom. But the people that create things, they have a manual. They don't advise you. They tell you how that thing works and how it doesn't work. This Bible is not an advice. God told me, I'm not advising you. This is how I created man to work. And my word is the only way that it works for those who make it to heaven. If you disobey this word, you fail. If you obey it, you succeed. Go from Adam, go to Revelation. It doesn't matter how good you are. The moment you disobey this, you are out of God's plan. You fall and fall really bad. That's why it says meditate on it. This is the manual for divine living. And a lot of people don't read Bible anymore. A lot of people don't even pray the Bible. A lot of people don't meditate on it. And who is giving you directions? Who is your GPS for life? When you tell people give or do this or pray or fast, they think it's a suggestion or an advice. It's not an advice, my brother. This is what God says if you do it. That's why I say do it by faith. Once you do it, then what God ordained will start happening. Preaching is only to provoke you and remind you of this. Preaching does not substitute your meditating, studying to prove even what you're being preached is true. Every one of us, when we stand before God, God will not say, this preacher said this, so I was angry. He wasn't preaching the truth. This preacher preached too much about money, so I wasn't giving. This preacher did this. God will say, this is my word. Did you obey it or what? It wasn't an advice. It's the word of God. I hope that was sinking. America lost her focus. And God is beginning to restore that focus. The church has lost its focus. And in the shaking of the nation, God is redirecting his focus. Individually, many of us have lost our focus. And God is calling us back to the reason for which we have independence from the world. Amen? Amen? We got born again so that we can make it to the promised land, so we can serve the purpose of God. Amen? Amen. So, what is happening? Are you doing that? If you're not, then today we need to ask God to give us. Today, America's independence. Is America serving God's purpose? Is America fulfilling the very purpose for which it was born? That's why we're praying. That's why the church is praying. Why? Because in this nation right now, there's a massive loss of focus of God's intent. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 Satan's plan is never anybody's destiny. But it becomes when we lose focus of God's destiny for us. So on this Independence Day, on this remembrance of Jubilee, we're going to hear more later about that. Today, I am asking you to take this word F-O-C-U-S serious. Refocus. We are living in the most dangerous time in human history. We are living in the best time that God has called the church. If you don't meditate, if you don't refocus, there's a way that seems right to men. When there is no leadership, everybody does what is right in their eyes. The world today we live in are making laws of everything that is right in their eyes. Everybody's making laws of what is right in their eyes. Everybody's right in their eyes. There's only one person that can judge. And that's the one you need to listen to. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm calling you back to your independence. I'm calling you back to God's purpose, God's vision, God's calling to your personal life, to a national life, to a church life. It's time to refocus. Amen?
Amen.
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 So let's take a moment, ask yourself this question. Is the word of God an advice for me? Or is, say, if you keep my commandments, you love me. Ask yourself. I've been treating the word of God like advice because it's like, if I feel like it, I'll do it. If I don't feel like it, the preacher didn't say it, so I won't do it. It's, you know, so what is advice? No. It's the word of God. So I want you to ask the Spirit of the Lord to refocus you. Those online, those that will watch this later, to refocus us. Let's stand up together and just ask that from your heart. You know, you can leave this place today and never be adjusted. Adjustment begins in the heart. Amen? It begins with a decision. A decision you can make today. Amen? I've made my decisions. I've made my decisions. When you see us praying here every day, it is not because it's easy. It's not because we don't have other things to do. It's not because, no. It's because of focus. It's a commitment. And God said, this is the way this will work. This is the way I will do this. And you stay, and God is working it. And it's happening. Amen? So today I want to encourage you, whatever you do, make sure that you build relationship. Make sure. If you're not doing it alone, humble yourself and develop a team mentality. Make sure you're always transparent, you communicate heart to heart. Carry the people along. Where there is unity, God will always give success, a blessing. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God. Today, as we stand on this land of promise, Father, thank you that your hour has come. That you who rules in the heavens, you who sets up kings and dethrone kings, you who raises nations and put down nations, you who shows true creation that you alone, you set the boundaries of man. Father, you have taken your place again to rule in the affairs of men. Thank you that you are beginning a work to refocus, to readjust our heart back to you, our eyes back to you. You shut down the whole human race for almost 2 weeks, and still many don't want their cataract destroyed. Father, help us. Help us, oh God, continue to clean our eyes. Continue to awaken our consciousness. Continue, God, to do what it takes to refocus us to your purpose and to destiny. We are not our own. We are yours. Help us to fulfill our mandate before it's too late. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for where you're taking Mount Zion. Today we want to take communion, Father. And we're asking you through this communion, Father, that you forgive us. Forgive us for where we have taken your word as an advice. Father, you're not advising us. You have told us what is good and what is evil, and the consequences, and the blessings and the benefits. That is your condition. That is your word. So today, as your church, personally, as your people, Father, we renew our covenant with you. We ask, oh God, remove every spiritual cataract in our eyes. Remove every blurry vision. Remove every deviation. Readjust our spiritual GPS. Father, awaken us once again and give us vision and purpose to inherit and possess and fulfill mandate. Give us back our consecration. Forgive us, oh God. Cleanse us and wash us. Father, we pray the same for America. Father, refocus the nation. Adjust the nation because of your covenant with this nation. On this day of memorial of the foundation of a nation, Father, everything that is planted that is not of you, let this be the harvest time. Let this be adjustment time. And let your purpose go forth. We receive your promise today, forgiveness and mercy, realignment and vision, in Jesus' name. Answer that question before you take the communion today. Is the word of God just an advice for me, or is a life I must live, I must obey? Father, I take this moment. I bring everyone that was born on this month. Everyone in this house born on this month. I bring their destiny before your throne. By the blood of the Lamb, I present their destinies before your throne by the blood. Father, I say you that have brought them this far, align them, O God. Everywhere that needs alignment, Father, align. Focus and establish. Let this season bring them into greater fruitfulness of purpose and destiny. Let this season bring them into alignment to greater fruitfulness and favor. I thank you, Father, as we remember the birthday of America, we remember their birthdays, and we say, by reason of your blood, Jesus, realign, establish, and focus, and grant them good success in all that they do. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship our past. Father, every mistake of the past, let the experience make it a ladder for the future. Let our past never be a promotion for backsliding. Let our past never be an instrument the enemy uses to deny your grace. Father, let everything work out for good for those who love you. Move us forward from this moment. By the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to encourage every one of us not to miss this training on Wednesday. I want to really carry this house into destiny, into purpose. Amen. There's so much God is about to take us and want to prepare workers of the kingdom. And those that are already working want to prepare the atmosphere. God is about to really do something here. I want to prepare ourselves for it. Amen? Amen? Your personal success and our corporate success. So Wednesday, we are not having Bread of Life just for that teaching, for that training that we'll be doing here from 7 p.m. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Super honey, please come.